Okay. So I get the privilege of introducing Enid. I've known Enid Walker. I've known her for, I don't know, a lot of years. My husband, oh goodness, on the spot, 18 next year. So I have known Enid for 18 years because Enid and her late husband, JT, came to Emmanuel right around the time that I started coming to Emmanuel and was dating my husband. And we went to a family life conference after we were engaged, and Enid and JT spoke at that conference. So that's when I first met Enid, and then I got to know her later. I got to know her better after life circumstances kind of threw us together with some other women. And so I really appreciate Enid. She's a lovely woman who has a heart for the Lord. And I'll just tell you a little bit about her. She serves on staff with Crew as part of the Significant Woman Project Leadership Team. She has taught many times. She teaches the Significant Woman class here, and she's mentored others to teach it as well. She graduated from Spelman College, where she received a degree in psychology, and she and her late husband of 21 years, J.T. Walker, served with Campus Crusade for Christ for 16 years, and they've lived in Ohio and Michigan and Raleigh, North Carolina, and then they came here to Emmanuel Bible Church. Enid used to speak at the Family Life Marriage Conferences, like I said before, and she has also spoken at a variety of women's and college student events. She for a while worked as an analyst for Northrop Grumman, and her greatest delight is being the mother of 5 kids. She has 2 daughters, Kara and Ariel, who have served in various ministries at Emmanuel Bible Church. She has 2 sons, James and John Mark. John Mark is married to his wife, Meg, for 2 years now. Yes, 2 years. And they serve, both John Mark, James, and Meg serve with Crew in campus ministry in the Williamsburg, Tidewater area, and then the Richmond area. And Zoe is the youngest, and she is a high school student. And Enid and her family live in Burke, and we are just very excited to have Enid speak with us today. Okay. Yes, I'll do that. So let's clip this on.
Get me wired. That work?
Okay, I think this should do it.
Okay. Very good.
You want these now?
Yes, please.
All right.
That'll be great. Well, I'm delighted to get to be with you guys, and I am so surprised that so many of you are here, because this is the Christmas season, and there's all kinds of events going on, and even talking to Tyler, she says, we usually have about 35, but we don't know at Christmas time. So you guys must get treated very well here. And, I mean, the food was fabulous, and the decorations was fabulous, and it really is such a delight to be with other mothers, and just the energy you get from one another, the encouragement you get from one another, and the good ideas that you get from each other. It just really is a boost to confidence and a boost to the determination to get back in there and to keep doing a good job with your family. So glad you're here tonight, and so glad I get to be here with you. Let me lead us in prayer, if that's okay. Just ask the Lord to lead our time as I share some things. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this season. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the possibility of deep and meaningful relationships with you. Father, I pray as we spend some time looking at and thinking about hope and looking at what Mary heard from the angel and what the shepherds heard from the angel, and thinking about our own lives, I pray that you would direct us and guide us, and that we would be a blessing to one another, and that you would be honored. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have the handout, we're going to follow that. But we're going to talk about hope. And the title of this message for me is, what are you hoping for this Christmas? My kids, it's really fun, the age of texting. My kids have been shooting back and forth ideas of gifts for each other. Zoe started it with a list of about 15 things, you know, that she wanted for Christmas. So, you know, we're hoping for things. We might be hoping for time with family and friends and loved ones. So when you think about what you're hoping for, we're going to talk about where real hope comes from, where it can be, where our hopes can be met. And a verse that I just love is right up at the top of your page is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And that verse is packed. I loved God's name in that verse, the God of hope. You know, we think about him in a lot of different ways, but not often do we think of him as the God of hope, but he's the God of hope. And it's a prayer asking that he fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And so joy and peace, those are, you know, we hear those things at Christmas time. Sometimes it doesn't feel joyful or even peaceful, but we know that the source of that is the God of hope. And then it says in believing. And so our responsibility or our role in this is in believing. Believing God, believing in him, believing in Jesus. That's the way to experience that hope and that joy and that peace. And then it goes on, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So I love it. It's not, you know, my hope is not going to be satisfied by things that I get. It's not going to even be satisfied by the people I get to spend time with. But it's going to be satisfied by the Holy Spirit, God himself, developing that hope in me. So the definition of hope is to expect with confidence, to trust. So we want to figure out, you know, what are we expecting, what are we hoping for, and how can we trust the one who can meet those needs for us. So we're going to look at the message that the angel Gabriel had for Mary, and to see what hope we can find for us in the message that he had for her all those Christmases ago. So what was Mary hoping for Christmas? At this point in her life, she was engaged to Joseph, and the engagements back then were binding and, you know, much more set than our engagements. You know, our engagements can be broken, but that one was a hard one, and in order to break it, they had to do some real drastic things. So she was hoping for marriage, and all that comes with marriage, her position in life, a new family, things were going to be changing. So then the message came from the angel, and we're going to look at it. It's there on your sheet for you, Luke 1:28-33. And I'm just going to read it. It says, "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So what is this message of hope in the message to Mary? What was the angel's message to Mary? There are three things I want us to look at. I want us to see the phrase, the Lord is with you, and then you have found favor with God, and then that that Christ is the, okay, so my notes aren't lining up right. So you tell me what the third thing is. You'll bear a son. Thank you. Thank you. You might have to help me a lot tonight. But so the Lord is with you. So that was the message to Mary. The Lord is with you. When you think about the Lord being with you, what do you think about? And you guys can just call out some things. When you think about the Lord being with you, what do you think about? Protection from evil, she says. Okay. Peace. Yeah. Companionship. Yes. Joy. Okay. Confidence. Yeah, absolutely. The relationship with the Lord. You know, I like being with people. I like being with my children. When you take those tests that help you know whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, I'm right dead in the center. You know, so I could go either way. I need time to recharge by myself, but I also like being with people. When I go off to do things, I enjoy the company of a person, you know, with me. If I'm going to maneuver the stores, you know, and the shops, it's nice to have someone with me. So it's really nice to think of God being with me in everything I do. So as I listen to the message that the angel had for Mary and her response to the message, when he says the Lord is with you, and her response is that she's afraid. Now, is she afraid because the Lord is with us or with her? You know, it can be a scary thing that to think that the Lord is with me. Depending on your image of God, you might have, you know, grown up with kind of the thought that God is just kind of hovering over, looking down for you to make a mistake. And then that could be very fearful when you think of the Lord being with you. Or so Mary's response of fear could have been because he said the Lord is with you. Or it could have been because he said that he called her, O favored one. But she, whatever it was, or could have been that she was fearful by the way the angel looked. You know, just imagine what that might be like to have an angel. I've never seen an angel. And we think of them as sweet little, you know, feminine kinds of things. But it could have been very ominous and scary. And so she was fearful. But I love the idea, for me personally, when I think about the Lord being with me, the peace, his presence, the protection, his provision, the relationship that I get to have with him. But the second thing he says to her is, you have found favor with God. And so favor is the kindness of God. He chose Mary for a specific purpose, to know him and to bring him glory. God's favor was to bless others through her. God's favor was not granted for Mary's own enjoyment, but rather so that the lives of others could be changed and God could be glorified. So she had God's favor. So what is our hope in Christ? You know what? I think my papers are all in the wrong order. So it came out of the printer and I just printed it I just stapled it like it was. Thank you. I think I have notes on here. So, okay. So here's the question. Sorry about that. Sorry about the, put numbers on my pages? That might help, huh? Yeah. Okay, so here's the question I have. Did Mary know the full extent of God's blessings at this time when she received the message? I love that she responded in obedience to the Lord right away and in submission to the Lord. And, you know, she was scared, but once he told her not to be afraid, then she said, let it be done to her as he said. But did Mary understand, you know, what her baby was going to mean to the world? Or even how hard life could be for her in the face of having that son? And maybe she understood right away that she could be kind of looked at sideways because she was going to be pregnant and not married yet. Maybe she understood that, but did she know all that she would have to live through? So there was confirmation at his birth when the shepherds also received a similar message from the angels. So let's read that. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." So don't you wonder what she was pondering? You know, what was she pondering? Was she pondering that the shepherds had seen the angels and had come? You know, what was she pondering? What would it look like that child that she had just given birth to, you know, was going to be great and was going to one day sit on the throne of David? You know, they had looked forward to, as a people, that they would be restored, the kingdom would be restored, and they thought it might be an earthly kingdom. But what did she think about that? I would just love to have a conversation with Mary. Don't you love the song, Mary, Did You Know? Isn't it like this? But I have so many questions that I would want to ask her. You know, did she know? What was she hoping for? Did she know that one day Jesus would be crucified? Did she know it at that point? Did she know we would need him as a sacrifice? It must have been a very sad day when he was crucified for her. Did she lose her hope then? You know, I mean, did she think back to that night or that moment when the angel came to her with this good news? Well, Mary was with Jesus when he was crucified. In John 19:25-27, it says, "But standing at the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother, the disciple whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And then to his disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." Don't you love the picture of Christ on the cross, still caring for his mother? Don't you love that picture of him reaching down and caring for her needs, you know, and loving his disciple in a way that he was honored that he got to take care of of Mary. Well, we also know that Mary became a follower of Jesus, not just the mother of Jesus, but she also, because I don't really think she knew the whole picture when the message was presented to her. But I think as it unfolded before her and the Lord drew her to himself, her heart, she believed and she made a decision to trust Christ, just like we do. We can choose to trust Christ. You know, when we begin to be exposed to the truth of God's word and the gospel, it doesn't always make sense to us. We don't always embrace it. But over time, as we continue to be exposed to it and we continue to be a part of God's people, then we begin to believe it. And I believe Mary came to know the Lord in just the same way. She needed him to be her savior, just like you and I do. So she became a follower of Christ. When they had entered and they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter, John, and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, all of these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And so his family was transformed just like we are and began a relationship with him in the same way that we have a relationship with him. So did Mary know that salvation was for me and you too? You know, or was it just, did she think it was just for the Jews? Did she think it was just for her people? We don't know, do we? That's a question we just don't know. What did she understand when she received that message? But you and I know that God's plan did include us. In 1 Corinthians 2:18 is another passage, and it says, at the time when Jesus was crucified, none of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear heard, no heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So I love that they didn't know, and the people that we are in contact with don't know either. They don't have an idea. I didn't know. I grew up in a Christian home. I was exposed to the Bible, and I was exposed to church, but it didn't make any sense to me. I believed it, but I didn't experience it. I still thought there was something I needed to do to take care of things that I had done wrong. So it's easy for people amongst us and around us, and even for ourselves, to not grasp the message. We really need the Lord to pull us to himself and help us to understand that. So they didn't know, but I love the last part of that last verse, verse 10. Says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Again, it's my hope, my joy, my peace. It all comes from God. Not from me, not for things that I can do or things that I can acquire, but it comes from God. So what is our hope in Christ? And I think it takes us back to the same message that was given to Mary. Our hope in Christ is that God is with us. And these are some verses that that reinforce that. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's in Hebrews 13:5. And so once we've placed our trust, or back to that first verse, we place our belief in Christ, he will never leave you nor forsake you. And it says, I will be with you until the end of the age. And this is a passage where Jesus is about to ascend to heaven after his crucifixion. And the promise is, I will be with you to the end of the age. So God is with us. He lives his life through us. This passage in Galatians 2:20 was one of the first verses that I learned as a new believer. And it was taught to me, or as I understood it, was that it is impossible for me to live the Christian life. That the only person who has ever lived the Christian life successfully is Jesus. And now, as I've placed my trust in him, now Jesus lives in me. And so it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So our hope in Christ is that God is with us. Our hope in Christ is that we have God's favor. We have God's favor, and there are three things here. We have God's favor in forgiveness of sin. 1 John 1:9 is another, that actually is a passage, it's a verse that the Lord used to bring me to himself. I had known about Jesus, but I also knew that I had done things that wouldn't be pleasing to God. And so I felt like there was a separation between he and I. And it wasn't going to be cleared up until I did something with my sin. The only problem was, what could I do with him? I had no idea. A woman shared with me after I had heard her speaking, and she asked for people to come forward if they wanted prayer. And I have no idea what I said to her. But what she said to me was, think about all the sins I had ever committed. And then she told me 1 John 1:9, which is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it clicked. The stories that I had heard as a child in Sunday school and at church, it made sense. Oh, this is what Jesus has done. And they weren't just stories, but they were true, and they made a difference for my life. And so I trusted Christ at that point. So we have God's favor. We can have forgiveness of sin. We have God's favor. We have God's love. And then this is Romans 8:38-39. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's pretty powerful. There's nothing that can separate us from God's love. He loves us that much. We are like him in that we can love other people, but we can't love like this, can we? Only God can love like this, and he has chosen to love you like that. And then we have eternal life. It says, whoever has the Son has the life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So I love this verse because it's pretty clear. There are two kinds of people in the world, those who have the Son and those who don't. God loves them both, and Jesus is our Savior for both, but we need to place our trust in Jesus. And if we've done so, we can know that you have eternal life. I like this because I don't have to hope. I've done enough good things. I don't have to wonder what God's going to do when I have an opportunity to be before him in heaven. I can know because of what Jesus has done. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. I can know that I have eternal life because I've placed my trust in him. So Mary's son, the Son of the Most High, we are part of God's people and will be part of God's kingdom forever. Well, part of the message was that his kingdom would have no end. And we're a part of that kingdom. He's our king, and we're a part of his kingdom. So the message given to Mary so long ago is still the same hope is available to us today. We can have God's favor. We can have God's presence, And Mary gave birth to a son that made it possible for us to be in a relationship with God. So we can look at Romans 15:13 again as we close. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Isn't that a great thing to celebrate as we think about the season? You know, Christmas comes, but life doesn't stop. And we have issues that need to be addressed, and we have things where we've been hurt, or we have things that we're afraid of, or all of those things. But there's hope in that God is with us through all of those things. He provides the joy that we need. So our joy doesn't depend on our circumstances, but on God. And he provides himself as a relationship with us. That's a lot to celebrate. You know, if we don't get a thing for Christmas, we still have so much to be thankful for in that Jesus gave himself for us and we can have a relationship with him. So let's just close in prayer, and then we'll hand it over to Christy. Father, thank you for the message that you brought to Mary on that day. Thank you that she responded to you favorably, and that you used her to bear a son and name him Jesus. And Jesus lived a perfect life and was a perfect sacrifice for us, for our sins that could be cleansed, and we could enter into a relationship with you. Father, I pray for each of these ladies here that wherever they are in their journey with you, if they've not begun a journey with you, that you would draw them to yourself. If they have begun a relationship with you, that you would continue to grow them up, and that you would strengthen all of us and give us the information that we need. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your Holy Spirit that's at work in and through us. And Father, we thank you for this season that we get to celebrate the hope that we have because of what Jesus has done. We love him, we love you, and we're so grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.